We are going to welcome our guest tonight, Aileen Crosby. She is the archivist of the local history collection at the Holyoke Public Library. Aileen, good evening and welcome to Tertulia. How are you?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you, Raquel.
Very good. It's such a pleasure to have you here because I know that you have a very important information that you would like to share with us, especially in Holyoke. And we know that with the passing of the years, the Spanish-speaking population has been growing, and I want to say Latino. I know that it's a wide term, but I know that we're going to cover part of this and part of the population from Puerto Rico. You have a project coming up.
Yes.
What is the name of the project?
Yes. Nuestros Senderos, and which are, the English title is Our Journeys and Our Lives in Holyoke. And it's a project funded by a year-long grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. And the centerpiece of that is a community archiving day that's going to take place this coming Saturday on September 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at a community organization called Enlace de Familias at 301 Main Street in Holyoke.
Very good. And this project, Nuestros Senderos y Nuestras Vidas en Holyoke, Our Journeys and Our Lives in Holyoke. What is it that you would like to achieve with this? What is your main goal?
Right. The best way for me to explain that is to tell you a little bit about how the project started and how we came to apply for this grant. So 4 years ago, I began managing the local history collection at the Holyoke Public Library. And of course, I had to delve into Holyoke's early history, which is different from most Western Massachusetts towns and cities. Holyoke was a planned industrial city founded in 1850. And so it didn't grow gradually and organically. It grew very rapidly in the late 19th century. Its infrastructure and its wealth depended on the labor of people who came to Holyoke from elsewhere, who were actually brought to Holyoke from elsewhere. So the social history of Holyoke is often told as the story of new arrivals and then of their descendants and how they maintained the cultural traditions that they brought from other places. What became really clear early on was that a big part of the story was missing because we had almost nothing of the stories of people who came to Holyoke after 1950. It's a serious omission because Holyoke was and is an important site of the post-war Puerto Rican diaspora and also a destination for immigration from Latin America. So that now 50%, as you mentioned, 50% of the population of Holyoke is Puerto Rican or Latino.
50%? Mm-hmm. Wow, that is quite large. Now, Holyoke is a city that has been formed by waves of immigrants.
That's right.
Can you tell us briefly what kind of immigrants, what kind of population were the first ones?
So in the first ones, the first were the Irish who were brought to build the dam.
Uh-huh.
And then many Irish then continued, the flow of Irish immigration continued as work was needed in the factories. So people would arrive in Boston or New York and know that there was work in Holyoke.
Mm.
And, of course, many people went to Lowell or Manchester or other places in New England, but Holyoke also became a destination. There also were wagon loads of people brought down from Quebec to also work in the factories for very low wages, of course.
Were those the factories that were working with paper? Because Holyoke at one time was very well known for that. Is that the kind of job that they came to do?
The earliest industries in Holyoke were textile, and it was envisioned that Holyoke would be a textile manufacturing city, but the first really successful factory founded by Joseph Parsons, was a paper factory. And so it did become the center of paper manufacturing, especially a very high-quality paper by the late 19th century, one of the world's largest producers of paper.
Mm-hmm. My guest tonight is Aileen Crosby. She is the archivist of local history collection at the Holyoke Public Library. So the second wave after the Irish immigrants were?
Irish, French, French Canadian, and then later Polish, and smaller groups of German immigrants. And the city was really very diverse. By the turn of the century, the city was very diverse in that respect.
Very good. So now in your library, you have archives that show these waves of immigrants, but you don't have anything from the Puerto Rican immigrants when they came after 1950s.
Right. Well, we have some evidence.
You do.
The evidence would be in the form of the newspaper, for instance, which the Holyoke Transcript, which published up through 1993 and was a very good paper. We have some statistical material. And, of course, we have little bits here and there, but we don't have very much that tells these family stories from the perspective of people who experienced it. And that's where the Community Archiving Day really is going to... What we're doing is we're inviting people to come to Enlace on September 24th, anytime between 10 and 3, and just to bring with them some of their family history materials, photographs and documents. We'll be able to scan, assuming we get a good flow of people, we'll be able to scan a small number from each person, so 4 or 5 of the most important items to them. And those digital copies, so we'll scan them digitally, those digital copies will go into the History Room's archive. They will take their originals home with them. They'll also get a digital copy. And other parts of the process, participants will be able to sit down with one of our trained volunteers and tell us about the photograph they bought. So who's in this photograph? When was it taken? And here we're interested, because we're interested in the whole family's story or journey, as I'm calling it. So the pictures don't necessarily have to be of Holyoke. They can be of where their ancestors came from. And a lot of people... especially Puerto Ricans in Holyoke, have very strong connections to Puerto Ricans on the island, so that those connections can be shown through this, and we're really interested in that.
Can they bring other things other than letters or pictures, photographs? I was thinking maybe of, some mementos from their own personal things, jewelry maybe, or musical instruments.
Well, we won't be able to actually scan anything flat, right? And it has to fit on an 8.5 by 11 flatbed scanner.
Right.
But
right.
we will have a camera, and actually another part of our of the whole day will be that people will have an opportunity to sit down with an oral historian and a videographer, if they choose, and with those items, any kind of items that they have with them, and tell any part of their story that they wish. And these will be short oral histories on that day, so that we can interview as many people as want to be interviewed. But that would be an opportunity to talk about a three-dimensional object and how important it is to them.
Right, right. So are we saying that they can bring these objects and maybe somebody can take a picture of them and then they can be digitalized?
Exactly. And then that picture or that recording, that will go into the archive as well. Mm. And so that memory will also be preserved.
Right. Very good. Very good.
And our volunteers, we have a wonderful group of volunteers, and the majority of those are bilingual. So we're hoping to be as inclusive as possible in this day.
Are you I mentioned at the beginning that this was open for all the Latino communities, but mainly for Puerto Ricans, because they are the majority of the population. But if somebody comes from Ecuador, Salvador, with something relevant, then of course, right?
It's really focused on groups which are very diverse at this point, but arrivals since 1950.
I see.
So yes, everyone's welcome.
Very good, very good. So my guest tonight is Eileen Crosby, and we're talking about her project, or the project that she directs, Nuestros Senderos y Nuestras Vidas en Holyoke, Our Journeys and Our Lives in Holyoke. And after you digitalize this, what's the next step?
Well, the next step is that we really hoping these photographs especially and the documents will go into an online collection that that describes this period in Holyoke's history. We also have other events planned. After this event on September 24th, we are going to be working with about six families, some of whom we've already connected with, to create displays that go more into more depth on their family stories and involve probably recording more substantial oral histories if they would like to do that. In May of next year, we'll have a major event at the library that will be the first public exhibit of these family histories, and we'll have presentations by at least two special guests. One of those will be Hari Franke Rivera, who's a wonderful scholar of Puerto Rican history, who's going to place the stories we have in broader historical context. And another one will be Joel Blanco Rivera from the University of Puerto Rico. And one of Joel's areas of expertise is creating and sustaining community archives. And so what I'm hoping to do there, what we're hoping to do is to start a discussion about how to sustain and develop what we've been doing during the grant year. And we know that collecting four items from each person who visits onset on the 24th is really just scratching the surface, that there's a lot of history there to be preserved.
That's coming up next May, did you say?
Yes, that's next May. We haven't set the exact date, but we will be promoting that.
Very good. And how about usually people are with their children, and sometimes that it's a little difficult for them to come and just do this.
Right. Well, we've worked out something with Enlace where they will have childcare providers there. So if people come with young children and they're trying to sit down and do an oral history, or they're trying to describe their photographs and are feeling a little bit distracted, that young children can go into childcare for the time that the participants are there. Now, on the other hand, we really encourage families to come in a group, because a lot of history is held by elders in a family, but it won't be held by them forever. So interesting that the younger generations in their family's history is extremely important.
So the idea is to collect as much history as you can from the older generation all the way down to the young generation, and to get all the information that pertains to their arrival, what happened to them when they came, what circumstances they lived in.
You know, we're interested in whatever people want to tell us. I mean, I really think of this as a community-driven. We applied for the grant, we got the grant, but we even at the time of the grant application, we involved community organizations and were very supportive and thought this was a great idea. So the content is also going to be community driven. We want to scan the photographs that are most important to that person and their family, whatever has the most meaning to them, and to feel wonderful about that item going into the archive, mm-hmm. and wanting to share that.
Oh, photographs can be black and white from way back, and mm-hmm. or colors also. It doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. The idea is to bring a little bit of the history of the family, mm-hmm. and then you would start working with them. How long do you think this process takes? It depends maybe on how many pictures they bring, photographs?
Right. Well, that's why we're modeling this, by the way, this whole the scanning event in particular, after the Mass Memories Program, which was developed by UMass Boston and which goes all over the state holding these community archiving days. And their recommendation is that you set a limit on how many you will scan that day. So our limit is four that day. We can be a little bit flexible. We're quite willing to look at more than that. If someone brings in a whole box of materials, we have trained volunteers, as I said, who will look at those materials with them mm-hmm. and help them decide which ones to have scanned that day. Yeah. And again, we'll be following up with some families. So if some people have been holding on to certain things for a long time, I mean, I think I've already run into some examples where people, they have some family history materials, but maybe they also became the historian or the archivist for an organization they belong to, or a sports team they belong to. That's really important community history as well.
Very good.
And so we're trying to use this as an opportunity to find out about those collections and how we can help preserve those.
Hmm. All righty. So let's mention again the date, the time, the place.
Yes, Community Digitization Day, Nuestra Senderos, which is this coming Saturday, September 24th. People can drop in anytime between 10 and 3. It's at Enlace de Familias, 301 Main Street in Holyoke. The whole process for each person should take 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. And anyone can find out more by looking at the Holyoke Public Library website and clicking on Holyoke History at the top of the page, following the links. Or they can search Nuestra Senderos Holyoke to find our Facebook page.
Very good. All right. So this is an invitation, right? An invitation for all our listeners to come that day, Saturday. Remember the date. This Saturday coming up already, it's right there. Yeah. Saturday, September 24th, you can go to the Holyoke Library.
No, not at the library.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's
no, I'm sorry.
Enlace
You're right.
Enlace.
You are right. It's sponsored by Holyoke Public Library, right. But the event will be at Enlace de Familias, and that is located at 301, did you say?
301
Main Street in Holyoke, 10 to 3, and there will be child care available also. So bring your photographs, and we'll get started. Thank you so much. Eileen, it has been a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you.
And good
thank
luck
so
in this event.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.